Daddy, we live in the dream, got dead in the field. I am a drink like Champions League. Every 25 hits, even the only feed. Man, I'm about to be rolled like a Ferrari. We got a bunch, this is the love of the tweet. Create my own leagues, so off we compete.
Although here's Canapri, he's on a hat-trick and he's in.
Champions League, this is Corner Flag Talk.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Corner Flag Talk Podcast. It's your boy John, we're here to discuss the latest as a football, but that actually is a contradictory. Because to be fair, we actually recorded this Friday night, and I don't know if we'll actually record another pod this weekend. In my heart of hearts, I would really like to, because this weekend has Real Madrid versus Girona. It also has Bayer Leverkusen versus Real Madrid. That's two first versus second clashes that I would love to discuss. But as well as, you know, obviously whoever comes out in the Prem and stuff here. But it depends on the time permitted. Obviously, the Trinidadians listen to this will know that this weekend is Carnival in Trinidad. And I don't, even though these guys aren't actually in Trinidad, well, Virgil is. We don't know how that might affect time, right? That being said, we are pre-recording this a little bit to talk about the Champions League, because this would come out on Monday without a shadow of a doubt, it would come out on Monday. And so that tomorrow would be the kickoff of the knockout stages. And so we brought on our resident UCL specialist, because Champions League is all he's watch, is Shims. Yeah. Shims, how's it going, my guy?
Everything good. Glad to be back. All you had to call you specialist for Champions League.
Yeah, sure. Tell them what is your call out to the United group from the jump and again right now.
I call out them was even making Europe. I call it was getting groups and so said.
Hey, good to have you back, boy. And then our access to him is very limited. So we still have Brandon. Brandon, was good, my guy? Love you just as much.
I'm doing good, you know. Wish my team was in the Champions League, but you know how it goes.
Noel, you have a few teams in the Champions League now, you know? Like, so we know you're supporting Porto. We know you're supporting Copenhagen. We know you're supporting Napoli. We know you're supporting Leipzig. So we know you at least have four teams in the fight now, right? Then we have Brandon. We have Daniel. Pato's good, my guy.
I'm fantastic. Good to see everybody.
Are you tired?
Never.
Hey, that is the right answer. So, like we said, guys, we'll get straight into it. So, Aloki want to do like the more difficult ties a little later on. This will be strictly a first leg preview. Come the time to do the second leg, we will do that by then as well. And obviously, we'll do a separate episode for that. So, since we have Shivs here, why don't we kick off with Real Madrid versus RB Leipzig? Shivs, is there any world in which you are worried?
We are playing Leipzig or playing Napoli, or is that just me being a casual?
You're playing Leipzig. Sorry.
But Leipzig.
I don't know if Shivs was serious. Don't confirm.
I'll leave that mystery. But I think we on a roll despite having zero centre backs at the moment. It's interesting to see how it play out. I think Ancelotti want to play Tchouaméni at centre back, which I think we've won we haven't lost a game he started in. So that's always good once he remains fit. Not a fan of him playing in the back, but he had to do what he had to do. I think Jude, even though he slowed down in terms of goals and assists as well as Rodrigo, they are doing positive things going forward. I think we should be able to get through them pretty easily. This is our competition, and yeah, I think we should smash them.
Nice. Pat,
I really wouldn't be surprised if Napoli step on us. I'm not gonna lie. If that's what he was gonna ask,
pause.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Hey, hello, we ain't reached there yet. Down.
I thought everybody was gonna talk about their side now, eh?
No, but I have four sides to talk about, so we can't do that. Jesse Real Madrid Leipzig type Pat. I actually do know that you did watch Leipzig a decent amount this season. Because I know you actually didn't watch any City Leipzig games. Do you have even the most minute bit of hope for them for this season? They are for this tie, sorry. They are currently sitting in fifth in the Bundesliga. Not really the best. Especially when you consider it's a year that Bayern aren't on top. But do you have any kind of hope for them whatsoever?
Yeah, me personally, no. I think that they're too sus defensively. to play against a team like Real Madrid. And that's kind of what gonna come down to. I honestly think the tie gonna be like both teams trying to outscore each other, because I know Madrid have their own defensive issues as well. But Leipzig is just ingrained in them to concede goals, you know. So I think this is gonna be a very tough one for them. I could honestly see a lot of goals both ways, but I think it heavily favors Real Madrid.
Cool. Yeah, anything you want to change to that, Salih?
Not really. I mean, I kind of agree with what Daniel said about it's gonna be which team could outscore the next one.
Okay.
But you know, I'll be supportive of Leipzig since nobody else was. I think there's a big tie for Xabi Simmons. I feel like this even having a great season, so yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he performs in this type of game, because it doesn't get much bigger than this. So
yeah,
I also feel like based on this, it will determine if he get a big move coming up next summer.
Yeah,
I can't see anything but a Madrid win.
Because to be fair, Leipzig do have a few players that a lot of teams will have in their eye on, at least before the season, even more this season. Obviously, Xavi Simons is like the crown diamond, but there's also players like Lukiba, the French center back. There's also Penda, who just moved from Lens across to RB Leipzig as well, who also has been doing pretty well in his first season there. So at least there are players to look out for that could probably cause enough danger to probably generate a move later down the line. Keeping it moving across. Pat, we will actually not be discussing your team until later on, because you have one of the closer ties. So in order to, you know, drag out this video, we had to put that later down.
Not a problem.
Next up, we have Copenhagen versus Manchester City. Now, the only credit that we can say to Copenhagen is that the fact that they are even here is a credit to them. And while they have done enough to say don't write them out in any tie, it's hard to do that when they're doing it against the reigning treble winning champions. Let's start in reverse then. Salik, what's your thoughts on the tie, bro? Let's watch it like this also then. Copenhagen is hosting Man City in the first leg. Is there any world that they come out of this with a chunky 1-0 that they carry across the Manchester and make them work for it?
Bro, if the whole team get like food poisoning or something the night before, that's the only way I see something like that happening. But other than that, I give Copenhagen an inch of a chance, to be honest. I actually think in one of these ties, you'll see one of the highest scoring UCL games ever. I just think they're going to run.
Yeah, boy. No. Fair. Credit ways, you would also say to Copenhagen, and that admittedly, it is the group stages is different. And as much as I think Bayern one are the favorites to come to win this Champions League, I don't necessarily think they're at the same level as Man City at the moment. But they did well against Bayern in terms of keeping the score close, keeping the games cagey and stuff like that, as they did with all the opponents that they had over in Denmark. Patrick, anything for them?
Yeah, boy.
Anything at all?
Me personally will be having the maximum number of City players in my fantasy. So, yeah. I will also be having the minimum amount of players in Copenhagen in
which
my fantasy.
Zero.
So, yes. Nice. Minus one, if I could. So, yeah.
Shims, you want to say anything different? Give not... Ronnie. How do I say his pronounce his name? Ronnie. Give Ronnie a little hope.
Nah. Team. Nah. Nothing. Yes, he's just probably going to step over them. I don't know. I literally can't see a world where Copenhagen could get out there. But I see crazy things in football before. So I don't put anything past them. But if I was a betting man, I'd put everything on Man City. And a Haaland hat-trick somewhere in the middle.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah.
Moving along. I'm trying to scale these in terms of what I believe is difficulty, right? So hopefully... knock wood that I am blighting more on the side. Next up, I have Porto versus Arsenal. I haven't really said much yet because I've agreed with everything that you guys have said so far. With respect to us, did I leave out that time? Oh no, I want to discuss this later. With respect to us, obviously right now, time of recording, it is a good moment. I do think Porto is probably along the lines of the draw would have wanted, in the sense of not just where they may rank currently as a team, but also in terms of, I think that they've done a lot to make it difficult for some of Europe's tougher sides recently. And I don't want us to be in this competition to make up numbers like some teams from Manchester have been doing. I want us there to compete. So part of that is being able to take these tests and showing that you can deal with them in an effective and efficient and professional manner. Starting with having to go away to Porto. Now, the last time we went there was actually in the Europa League. And I believe that had finished 1-1. Which wouldn't be the worst result. But I do expect us to have to work for it. I really do. Porto is a pretty good side going forward. But defensively, they are really sus, and it's just a case of us taking our chances. I can't see, like how we were talking about the City tie, about record scoring, anything like that. But I do think come the end that we should be the ones coming out of this tie. Shivs, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think this might be one of the closest ties out to everything. But I do see Arsenal eventually getting through. I think they just have a little bit more, I think, after last season, especially going out to, I think it was Sporting Lisbon in Europa League last year. I think I try my best. But yeah, I think after that and the lessons they learned last season in the race for the league last season, I think they learned some, you know, character and some, you know, to dig deep and really get some results. I think over this time, we'll see that resilience from them, what they learned over last season come into play. And yeah, who knows, maybe a Pepe red card for the old time's sake, so 3 foot on Saka, it hurts anybody. But yeah, I think Arsenal get through there with, I'm going to predict 4-1 over the two legs.
Whew, nice. Okay. Brandon, what's your thoughts, bro?
I actually also think this is going to be one of the closest ties of the the game week. So I will give Arsenal the benefit of the doubt for this one. But I do think going to Portugal will be difficult for them. Yep. I think Porto can give them a real run for their money.
Mm-hmm. Can my player that they need to look out for? Because to be fair, before
you Fabio answer, Vieira, is the Fabio Vieira derby looking like?
Yeah, well, as if he can be fit, which is the greatest question right now. But what I would say, and just be completely fair, is that recent weeks when Arsenal have rocked was when a lot of times that they spend time dominating and if somebody hit them on the chin on the counter and then make things sticky for them going forward. Who's a player you think Porto could turn to, for those who aren't aware, to probably make that turn in the tie and make it sticky for Arsenal?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I have not looked at Porto a lot.
Oh, I didn't mean to play on the spot. I'm so sorry.
But, I mean, I looked at them for, during the group stage, and they did look good against Barca. I did watch the Barcelona game. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, apart from that, I'm trying to think about which player. The one thing I was looking at, too, is that I was just going to say that Porto have only conceded 13 goals in the Portuguese league this season.
Yep.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so I believe, like, looking at their defense, I think that's been, like, one of the best things I saw about them so far. So, I think if they could, like, you know, keep Saka and them a little quiet throughout the game, yeah, I feel like they could nick it, probably. But Arsenal need to be real careful. Like, they can't go into the game thinking that they will win, you know?
Yeah. And this guy stuck on everything that I know Brandon got chips and roll his eyes too. But genuinely, I have a friend from Porto. Like, he's actually from Portugal, he's a Porto fan, I think. And like, he told me, he was like, bro, do not study what the numbers say. Defensively, we are actually terrible. And he was like, if it isn't for Diogo Costa, like he's just being honest, he's like, if it wasn't for Diogo Costa, their defensive record would be way worse. He also said that at the soonest convenience that Arsenal should dump Ryan Ramsdale and sign Diogo Costa. Which, hey, I am all on board for.
Well, you know, that's the other thing too, because like he is I think we could all agree he's one of the best keepers in the world right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Arsenal had to come real good if they want to like win games against him. Because I think he could single-handedly win the game for Porto.
Pat, thoughts?
Boy, this is where my casualness might shine, because me personally, I do think that Arsenal are going to walk all over this game. I think it's going to be heavily in Arsenal's favour, and I have a couple of reasons for that. So, something I've noticed over the last 2 years when it comes to Arsenal playing in Europe is the teams outside of the top five, and I'll put French teams in there as well, really struggle to play against Arsenal's style of football. You know, that fluid attack, it seems like it's not something that these teams are accustomed to coming up to. I think if Gabi Jesus plays in this game, it's going to be immense for Arsenal. In both legs, I should say, it's going to be immense for Arsenal. On the flip side now, having the pleasure of watching Porto play against my team in the Champions League, you know, across two legs. If it's one thing, dog, them and them leaky. Like, them real leaky in the back. If it wasn't for Lewandowski, I'll talk about him later. But if it wasn't for that fella, pass out a step all over them. And I personally think that Arsenal could come out of this game or this tie with 8 or 9 goals. I'm not even being like that kind of guy, you know. I really think it's heavily in Arsenal's favor. Another thing is I think Porto's only threat really for really and truly is the fluidity that they have going forward. And Van der Sangalenio is definitely somebody that I want to look out for. Because he just has that quality of getting on the ends of things. I would call him the Spanish Bellingham, except that he's playing on the wing. Because the way that he's find space, you know, the way he's find space in the box and find himself on the end of chances, I think is magnificent. I've looked at his game a lot to try and steal some stuff for my own. And I quite like his analysis of space. That would be the only issue. Now, that being said, though, given that Porto, in my opinion, his only hope is really, you know, a counter going forward, I think Arsenal is the perfect team to nullify that. I think we're looking at one of the strongest defenses in the world right now. And that back five of the four big men, because I don't think Zinchenko plays in this game, and Rice, I think is just the guys to stop Porto. So yeah, I think it's heavily in Arsenal's favor, and y'all could check my back when Porto end up beating them 1-0. Y'all could check my back, you know. But yeah, I personally think that I could get very ugly.
Yeah, well, obviously I stand with you there, the Potter. I hope that is a case where it is pretty easy for us. Moving on. Next up, we have. You see, I know all. I don't think this tie closer, but I think it will be. Next up, we'll go with PSG versus Real Sociedad. I think we might have some different answers in this one. So, given that we have two La Liga men on the show, it would be that the service is starting. So, Shibs, why we don't start with you again, bro? How you feel about this tie? Obviously, you played PSG like a million times. I feel like Real has played PSG like nearly every year at this point, kind of. So, yeah, how you feel about this tie?
The PSG side, honestly, I don't think that could. That could just be, you know, going from Messi and Neymar to who's it?
Dembele.
And Dembele and Colomani and the rest of them. But yeah, honestly, I don't think that could. Obviously, Mbappe is Mbappe. Real Sociedad actually has a pretty decent defense. I think they've only conceded more than 2 goals once all season. Could be wrong on that. But I know they have a really solid defense. Takefusa Kubo, I know he was with Japan for the Asian Cup. But I think he should be back for this. So I expect him to shine. And honestly, I could really see Sociedad pulling the upset there. I don't know how popular of a thing that is. Obviously, Mbappe is going to get like just 1 or 2 goals over the 2 legs. But I think Sociedad have enough to squeak past them, honestly.
Yeah, from one La Liga fan to another. Pats.
Yeah, I don't know, dog. I would love for PSG to lose this game. I honestly would. But I just don't see it happening. I think, like, Sociedad is a good team. Don't get me wrong. They are a good team. I think it would be a close tie. They defend well, so on. And they have that Brais Mendes guy who, I mean, he was in form earlier on in the season. I don't know if he could step back up again. But when he's having a good game, the whole team has a good game. And they have Kubo back. That's good. Someone else that is also coming back is Kangin Lee. We know how well he was doing for PSG before. Them have man like Barcola. And then they have the boss himself, you know, Kylian, who, bro, when he has a good game, he could win it all on his own if he so desires. And really, I think it comes down to that. How good of a game does he have on the day? Because I think if he does not show up, then they lose that game. And I think if he wants to win, then they win that game. I really think it just comes down to him on the day. On both days, I guess, I should say. But I still think it favors PSG, though. I'll go for PSG.
Cool. And Chefs, you went for...
Sociedad.
Yeah, so if you don't mind, Brandon, I will go next. And then you could go.
Yeah, sure.
I, in true John fashion, would go with Real Sociedad. And the few reasons for that is, one, I've been very vocal about this, and I genuinely think PSG have been extremely horrible to watch. And Pat is right. I think it's completely on both the ability of Mbappe to turn it on in the final turn, as well as I really should have double checked this before, but well, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but is Zaire Emery suspended for the first leg? Because I think he got a yellow card in the last game, and I think that might suspend him. And he and Vitinha have been holding that midfield together, at least in the group stage. I know since then, Kangeli has kind of come into his own a little bit more, but y'all will let me know if I'm wrong. But I think it's all on Mbappe, and I have been disappointed. Like, I'm fully aware that it was a group of dead that he was in, right? And fair enough, but I don't think it has been good enough. Now, I do think that they have made some close calls, and it's not just an entirety thing about end product, but, you know, you talk about that this, more than it has ever been in his tenure at PSG, has been built in the image that he would have wanted, and I don't think that it has been good enough. And on the flip side of that, I think Real Sociedad have, in my opinion, one of the best keepers in Europe, in Alex Ramiro. He has been sensational for them, and he is also been one that's been picked up on a few raiders. Subeldia has also been very good in the background, as well as the players that Patrick has highlighted. And then the last thing I would lean on a little bit is something that, whether we like to admit it or not, and, like, you know, sometimes obviously you need to rewrite the past, is a bit of heritage as well. Spanish heritage in European competitions tend to do really well in situations like this against teams that aren't as formidable and aren't as strong in Europe. And PSG are unfortunately as one of the most brittle as they come. And so I think it'll be close. I do think it's one that could go either way. But I do think, especially with Kubo coming back and Oyarzabal, who is also a mainstay with them going forward, yeah, I think they could have enough to be able to see them through this tie. So I'll also say that. Brandon?
I just hate all of you, because I was going to say that I think this is going to be the biggest upset of the tie of all of them.
But I think they're going to walk PSG. I
truly believe it, bro. I think PSG not going to be able to deal with it. I think Sociedad, I don't know them. I like the Sociedad coach a lot. Yeah. I think he plays some really nice football. So I just don't see the PSG team given off the kind of football that we thought that we were going to get from them.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they might be playing okay, but I just don't think they, you know, Sociedad are pretty good. I believe they're sixth in La Liga, I believe so. So,
yeah.
You know, I have a feeling that they will do it on PSG, because it's the only upset I could see.
And you know what's the other thing too, boy? Is that in, from a man who never sees how you win, right? But, like, you know, a lot of times teams lean on their ability to change games at home in order to go through these ties, right? Have we watched how PSG has been at home? Like, even though they've won two of them, they were extremely scrappy and poor performances generally, you know? Some of it was a little lucky in terms of the other team finishing. No, I'm not going to just pretend like Andre Silva and Bryce Mendes is going to all of a sudden to some of the most critical players in the world. But I think the broader football they play is really good. For those, anybody who watched even the highlights of the game that they had, the games that they had against Inter, would have seen that they played really, really good football in the group. And this is a team that was in the final last year that they were playing against. So, yeah, we have three for PSG on record. And we have, sorry, three for Real Sociedad, I don't know, one for PSG. Oh, I love that. Next up, we have PSV versus Borussia Dortmund. And we will go in reverse order again. So, Brandon, thoughts?
The one tie that I am looking forward the most to, and that is because this is the only tie where both teams have actually won the Champions League before. The rest of them is just either one or none at all. Mm. So I feel this tie has a lot that people will not expect in it. It might not be, you know, high scoring, but I feel it's a bit one of the more exciting ties in the whole thing. I mean, I'll give PSV a bit of hope at home because I don't think Dortmund have been consistent enough throughout the season. But I'll go with a good draw for that first leg, you know, in PSV, and Dortmund had to take it back home to win it.
Yeah. So who are you gonna go for, Dortmund in the end?
I'll go for a draw in the first leg. And then I think Dortmund could probably get it at home.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'll go for a draw in the first leg.
Yeah. Pats, we are the same way. We have a former coach of Dortmund. If I'm not mistaken, Peter Bosch had coached Dortmund at some point. I feel like so many of these guys had coached them, eh? But like, it's also possible he had coached Ajax, so I'm watching Gladbach at that point too. But either way, Pats, what's your thoughts?
Well, I've been excited by how Dortmund have played this season. Might not be the most effective football, but it's definitely looked damn good. And I think that this tie favors Dortmund. I wouldn't say heavily, but I will say I'll be surprised if they don't beat PSV across both legs. I think this is perfect type of game for Niklas Füllkrug to shine. The penalty boss himself, you know, the 6'5" giant, you know, that guy. I think
PSV, by the way. He did. He did post Dortmund for a year. After coaching Ajax, which that I didn't know. Go ahead, sorry.
I think it's a good game for Füllkrug to play in. I think Brandt has been fantastic this season. And then moving on to PSV now, when I look at them, I just see like one or two little problems. I think Noah Lang is injured. I think that could be big for them. I'm not even sure like much of their players to be completely honest with you. But Lang is going to be a big miss. I think it kind of favors Dortmund. And more importantly, Dortmund have kind of found some form recently, so that should help them as well.
Yeah. Chefs?
I think PSV might be able to beat them and qualify. The reason I say that is because even though Dortmund might be on form right now, PSV flying in the league right now, I think they only conceded like 8 or 9 goals in the league. But that is the Dutch league, so take that with a pinch of salt. But honestly, I just don't think Dortmund have the it factor to get them across the line. You know, we've seen that I like Dortmund, but they're a club that, you know, they tend to fall under pressure. We see it in the league a few times, even though it's you know, completely different players and stuff. But I just think they have that heritage of just crumbling when pressure gets a little too much for them. And yeah, PSV will be able to rest their best players because flying in the league, Dortmund in a top four race right now. And yeah, I think PSV going to be able to get it done.
Cool. Well, so over the last 2 years, we played PSV 4 times. And I am impressed with them, even more so this year, even though last year is when they actually beat us. But I think on the Peter Bosch, they have been excellent, obviously. On a previous pod, I actually recommended Peter Bosch in some of the recent coaching vacancies that they had. And they have a few players that have been eyed up. Bakayoko almost leave like 3 different times to Brentford twice, I think once in Nottingham Forest. Obviously, Barca fans are familiar with De Jong, who has 18 goals in the league. And the irony is that something that I have felt about Dortmund before is that they could be I think unprofessional is the wrong word, but when it comes to these European ties, however, they were in the group of that everybody wrote them off. And they did well. They not just came first, but they went, even though they lost the first game, they really took the 4, come the second and the third and the fourth and stuff like that. They grew and in maturity in ways that I don't really associate with Dortmund. So come this tie, I really not sure. I really don't know. Going to lean to Dortmund in the end. For the reasons that Patrick also said, that they are really in good form recently and stuff like that, and I've seen ways that you could get at them defensively. However, I generally would not put it past them to be one of the teams that are capable of hitting the opponent on the chin a little bit and at least making them stagger in the home tie at least at first. Because I think that is where these games are going to be won. If in the first leg that PSV could manage to go in a lead, especially if it's a 2-goal lead, and really shake them, then, yeah. And as I was just saying, I think this is one of the times where we can see, you know, David probably hit Goliath a little bit and at least shake them. Probably not knock them out, but probably shake them a little bit. So, yeah, we have three for Dortmund. We still have three for Dortmund.
I can just say one thing on the PSV. Before, yeah, I just want to say, I feel like one of the players that everybody needs to look out for in this game is Joey Veerman. He's statistically been one of the best midfielders in Europe throughout this entire season. I watched like a few games with him this Champions League season. I think he's class, bro. So
yeah,
I think he'll be very important for PSV if they have any chance of going past this stage. I think he'll be the key for them.
Yeah, agreed. Nice. Moving it along. I actually think we're doing decent for time. Moving along. Next up, we have Lazio versus Bayern Munich. I probably should have put this earlier because I think we might have the most similar answers. But, Brandon, I am going to challenge you to make a case for Lazio.
What can I say about Lazio, boy?
And be nice. They're playing on Valentine's.
I know. Okay. What I will say is, I think Sarri is still one of the most underrated managers in the world. I think he doesn't make changes to his system, but you know, he's a guy, he's still a very good manager at the end of the day, and I feel like he could probably get one over Tuchel. Especially since they're playing at home. Yeah, they're playing at home.
Yep.
So I still think, you know, going to Italy for Bayern, I don't think that would be the greatest, you know, thing in the world. I try to think about how I could give them any better chance. Possibly if they look to somebody like Pedro or something, I feel like they could probably do it, but I'm not really giving them much of a chance, but that's all I could say for them.
Yeah. What I would also say is that Bayern, at least for the time being, are dealing with like a bunch of injuries going into this game. Like I actually, we'll see tomorrow. Well, for us tomorrow, for you guys a few days before, what they actually put out when they play Leipzig. Not Leipzig, Leverkusen. Because they have been having like this terrible injury crisis. And the back are like, they just been just getting by. And he says that like, as soon as one get injured, somebody just managing to get back into training kind of thing. To the point that they went outside Harry Kane best friend. So, you know, not really in the best of situations to be in. Shims, now you're going to tell us why Bayern going to not just cakewalk this, but do like they did in the COVID season and hit them a Barca special.
Yeah, Bayern, the one those teams that just seem to always perform very well in the Champions League, especially at these like round of 16s, quarter stages. Harry Kane.
Shims talks so professional, you know. Shims go off. Nah, he sung just like an adult, so, you know. Oh my goodness.
It's practice. Harry Kane, desperate for that first career trophy. They're already out to the German Cup. Can't remember what it is. The Pokal. They only have the league and the Champions League, so you know Harry Kane gonna be gunning for that. Like I say, he signed his best friend, so that's some chemistry there, even though his best friend not the best player in the world, but you know, we're there. And I just think it's gonna be too much for Lazio to handle. They do have the first leg at home, Lazio, so maybe they could hold them, maybe to a draw. But I think when they go to the Allianz, it's gonna be a long day for Lazio, and I see Bayern getting past them very easily.
Nice. Pats?
I looked at every Bayern game in the group stage, and not one time was I actually impressed by these men, dog. Really and truly, a highly overrated team. Really and truly. Still expect them to beat Lazio, though, because, good Lord, I don't even know how them here, to be honest with you. I don't know how they here.
You want to guess what position they finished last year?
In the league or?
In the league, yeah.
In the league?
Yeah.
Fourth.
They finished second, though.
I didn't see what Shims. Oh my god, Shims show a sign. I didn't see it. What they finished second, is it?
Yeah, they were second. I believe so. Yeah, I think they were second.
They were second.
Yeah, like Sarri had them flying last year. Like, some of the biggest issues this year is the fact that, like, I'm not sure if he's fit right now, but like, Immobile was not scoring at all. Like, he went this long stretch without scoring, and they sacked
him. He's still doing that.
Yeah, and they brought in Castellanos, who was on loan at Girona, I think, last year, and who did well. And, you know, he hasn't managed to translate the form across there so much.
Okay, right. So, anyway, so this Bayern team, dog. Yeah, boy. I ain't so sure about them. Even the games where they win like 3-0 type of thing, dog, the goals came in like the end of the game, and them struggled for like eight. I felt like every game I watched actually from Bayern was them struggling to break down a low block and eventually getting some type of scrappiness, like something. Anyway, I think they're going to beat Lazio because Lazio not very good. But check my back for the quarterfinals, dog. I had plenty trash talking to do on Bayern. So definitely check my back.
Nice, cool. I believe we only have two ties left. So, first off, we'll get... Oh, all right, Salik, choose one. Which one do you want to do first? There's two other things you're interested in talking about.
We'll go save the best one for last now.
all right. Well, you save the best one for last then. So, we gotta do the Inter-Atletico first.
Okay, so Inter versus Atletico, the Simeone derby. I won't lie, I was a little sad by this tie. One, because I do think it's going to be a good tie. I really do. But also because it kind of sucks that one of these two teams is going to have to go home. And I think both teams had like a good shot of making it difficult for us to progress, right? Obviously, Inter are last year finals. They are also currently leading the title race over in the Serie A. And Atletico Madrid, while they aren't necessarily in the title conversation, they are still having a pretty good season over in La Liga. Oh my god, oh, they actually managed to come back into two. That is crazy. But yeah, and obviously, they have what number player in the world is Griezmann again?
21st.
Yeah, they have the 21st best player in the world on their box. So, Brandon.
Thoughts. I actually can't split this one. Yep. This one is the hardest tie. This is actually the hardest tie. I think this is probably two of the best defenses in the world going up against each other, along with some of the most potent attackers in the world right now.
Best pairings in the world. Two strike pairings. Oh my gosh.
Honestly, dog, it promises to be. It should be 5-5, but it will be like
1-0. Like 1-1.
Yeah, it'll be 1-0. That's exactly what it will be. I don't know, boy. I think, again, it's France versus Argentina. Again, Lautaro versus Griezmann. Yeah. It has so many things going on in this too. I just think it's going to be a great tie. If I had to give it to the first one, I might just edge Atletico for the first leg. Just might.
Is that partially like heritage as well, I think?
If you ask me to pick a tournament player between Griezmann and Lautaro Martinez, I would always pick Griezmann. So I'll take him any day, and I will take Atletico for the first leg. Just.
Chips?
Yeah,
I think Atletico this Sunday, go on, actually.
Yeah, we played them like so much times. I fed up seeing them, to be honest. But like what I said, Griezmann is one of the greatest players right now. He's one of my favorite players.
He's the 21st best player, actually.
Sorry, 21st best player in world football at the moment. He's one of my favorite players that plays for a rival team. And we call it Simeone Derby. I call this the Derby de la Red Card. I think we're going to see at least two red cards over the two games. But yeah, I think it's going to be very close. I know we're talking mainly about the first leg. But the tie overall, I could very easily see this go into extra time and maybe pens.
I would love that.
Me too. That's what I'm hoping for. But honestly, it's a coin flip. And I probably would go Atleti. But yeah, it's going to be a good game. Two strong defenses, two great attacks. Brandon summed it up well. And you did as well with the two great strike pairings. But
Yeah. I know we mentioned this like a bunch of times on the show already, yeah, but dog, Thuram has definitely been one of the signings of the season. And like, I know they won by our own goal against Juventus on Sunday, but he forced our own goal, bro. Like fair play to the man, dog. Like, I remember him being linked to clubs in England. And again, put my hands up, I generally did not think it had that much to him. But he's gone Italy and made Lukaku a long forgotten memory in that strike partnership up there. But are you willing to diverge from Aline and Atletico, or are you giving Inter a chance in this?
I just go and shoot straight at my boy Lukaku. First of all, he forget himself, dog. He forget himself. We just get out there one time. Lukaku, if you're listening, dog. All right.
To be fair, knowing Lukaku, he might actually listen to this. Like that brother is cowardly.
He's listening to American. He's only listening to American podcasts. He, if you're not American, he ain't listening to that.
I have two men here living in America, bro.
Yeah, but that Trini podcast, you know the database back in TNT, dog.
We have a 43% listenership in the US, eh?
Serious?
Yeah. It's like 43. We actually have a bigger percentage, I think, in the US than we have in Trinidad, which says so much about the podcasting culture and stuff. But don't worry, Kayla and friends, we appreciate every one of you.
All the Trinis out there are to support local, eh? Support local. Stop listening to the Joe Rogan Experience. Stop listening to, I don't know any other podcast.
You know what?
But log in to CFT, okay? Please.
I ran ask this now because I forgot to ask at the start of the show. But not who you think, but who would you like to win a road match for Carnival 2024?
Partner, I don't listen to soccer anymore, and I'll keep it real with your dog.
Okay, so Patrick going with DNA because we just had to let you use the most obvious choice.
I'm gonna second with Patrick there. I don't listen to soccer anymore.
Hey!
Just the worst possible question.
Yeah. I thought Sonic has listened to at least some, and I haven't listened to that much. I'm not gonna pretend that I have. I've listened to some. You know, I think that that voice and Vaughn have a really nice song.
Yeah, Trinidad City is a nice song.
Yeah, and also I find Carnival Contract real like good. I real biased because I real like Bungie Boy. I always real like Bungie. I am somebody who always had the belief that if Bungie was born in America, he would have been a rapper. Like that man flow is great, dog. Like he's genuinely great. So. Sally, can you at least back me up? Could you give me a song? Could you give me a song?
I think Carnival Contract is going to win. But if it was up to me, I really like Carnival Day by Voice and Patrice. I think that's a real good song. Road match, so. But yeah, I just think Carnival Contract is going to win. I heard it. The first time I heard it, boy, I was like, wow, this is this is really good.
You know, it's not a road match song, but I think How I Live In. By Farmer, because I knew actually what listen to. No, that song is really good. All right, cool. Yeah. Back to what we regularly scheduled to be talking about. Pats, Inter versus Atletico.
Dog, I really lose in touch, dog, because I ain't felt so lost in our conversation in a long time. And that's about my own people, imagine. I really lose in touch, dog. I'll come back. Anyhow, I was going to say something, but
I wish I hadn't taken it out. Pats, I don't know if you know, well, you should know that the prayers group, remember they was making jerseys for...
Yeah,
well, I had organized to get your jersey, and I actually collected it today. I wish I had taken it on the card, though. I'll show you.
Really? It's really a good friend, you know, dog. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Back to the business. I think it in favor of Atleti. Ever so marginally, you know? But yeah, I think Atleti would win. Lautaro to dog it. That's basically what it's going to come down to for me. Lautaro to just dog it. To miss about 3 sitters. Maybe even a penalty. Who knows? We will have to wait.
Only
and
3?
See.
But I just the first half of the first leg.
As the first half before they sub him off. Because they will have to if they know what's good for them, dog. No, big man thing, though. When it comes to crunch time, he is not someone I want on my team. Like, I don't understand the hype behind this man. Like, he is just another Higuain, if you ask me. That's what I'm saying. He is literally just Higuain. That's it.
Watch out, Sally. He's on a roll the eyes. I know, Sally. Don't think so either.
Dog, it's fine.
just wait. It have a whole next World Cup coming up. It have a whole next Copa America coming up. Let's just wait. This man is one of the professional doggers. I'm telling you guys. I'm telling you. But let's just wait, dog. The game is on the 20th. On the 20th, we will get to see the brilliance of Lautaro. In a negative sense. But I also think, in a more positive sense, that the brilliance of Griezmann will get to shine through on this day. I think this is the type of game that you need somebody like the Twinkle Toes himself now, dog. This is the type of game that you need him mm-hmm. in this one. Because that Inter defense, real serious, dog. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, that real serious defense. Unfortunately, for Atleti too, DeMarco is back in form. And that's just a crazy one. Because that man is our boss, you know? But yeah, no, I think at the end of the day, while I personally think that Inter's system is better, I think that Atleti just have more game winners. I feel like it's going to come down to that, dog. Game winners and share passion, dog. Big man thing. I feel like it's going to come down to that. And that's where I side with Atleti.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Like, you took the words out of my mouth. I do think it'll come down to individuals in the end. And if we remember how that run went for them last year, it was players like Calhanoglu, Mkhitaryan, and Dzeko really stepping up for them in the knockout phases. And I know Calhanoglu is still there, but obviously Dzeko is gone, and I think Mkhitaryan has been out of fever or something.
He's there, but he ain't really playing like that.
You know, yeah, so he hasn't been. And so it's a question of who steps up. And based on track record, we just have not seen that from Lautaro. And I don't think he's... I think that's disrespectful to Higuain a little bit. But I understand where you're coming from. I do. But I don't think it's that apt. After speaking to Salik about Higuain, that's actually kind of how my opinion changed on it. But I just don't see it from Lautaro. And it's just a case of if he ever does, you know, are you going to move on from being a Serie A merchant, you know? Which is where I think actually is the difference with Higuain. Higuain was a great league scorer everywhere that he went. Whereas this man doesn't
right.
only do it there.
But for Argentina, but, no, but we remember, right? We remember.
And
we remember.
Is that then now the bigger question to me compared to if Lautaro would step up is actually is could Marcus Thuram carry it across to the Champions League knockouts? You know? And is that a case of if he could do it? I don't know. It is left to be seen. I think Patrick said it perfectly to me that I think Inter's system may be better. But I think Atletico individuals will win them the game in the end. And there are a few players that I think that you want. I mean international football really showed it all. That you want more than Antoine Griezmann in these moments, bro. You know? I'd credit to his due, dog. Morata actually has been in fantastic form over the last 18 months. Probably the best form of his life. Over these last few months. And a big part of why Inter has been going through this resurgence study. I mean, the Atletico have been going through the resurgence that they have been. So, yeah. And last, but not least, Barcelona versus Napoli. Just 1 second, Pats. Just 1 second. Right, so y'all play them on February 21st, though, which means there is ample time for Victor Osimhen to come back from AFCON, whether he win or he lost. You know, rock back, relax, get a little massage, whatever, get even a little warm-up game in Syria, and then to play your... I do think that, all rams aside, I do think it is a close tie. This is not the Napoli form that we were seeing from them last year. They aren't exactly in the best place in terms of the squad either. They are players that are currently actually agreeing pre-contracts with Inter. At the moment as well, not the best, but they still have what I think is one of the most dangerous wingers in Europe, in Kvaratskhelia. They have one of the best strikers, I think, in Victor Osimhen. And those things can make a big difference in these knockout ties. I'll actually start with Shivs, because Shivs, you faced Napoli in the Champions League this year. How do you afford those games, and was your perception of them? Before I was a Pats, for him to talk about his lovely Barcelona.
No more.
I think Napoli definitely are a serious underdog. Don't count them out. I know Barca maybe, you know, this summer managed to find a way to win, but I think it's Napoli team, like I said, with Kvaratskhelia on the wing, Osimhen come back from AFCON. I think they're going to be a lot to handle going for Barca. I think the first leg, they might beat them, and then they might just hold on the second leg. But yeah, I think it's Napoli team. is one that you shouldn't brush over. I know they're in poor form, like you said, but I think with the individual brilliance of Osimhen and Kavara, I don't know, they'll be able to do enough, and only time will tell, really. Is that me just being a Barca hater? Probably, but we'll wait and see.
At least you're honest. But...
Look, as a certified FCB lover boy, I
and I was
I
a hate email at one point.
Like, suppose you know,
certified lover boy 1, 2, 3.
You Drake or what?
Hey, don't bring up Drake. No, do not.
I mean, I might be Drake. Yeah? But anyway,
do not bring up.
Listen, right. The show, Listen. Oh, but one thing that might have been AI generated. Eh?
Why are we talking about this?
I don't think so.
Why? How would you know? Oh, yeah, you watched that video. No way.
Boy,
we not discussing this.
I saw the video. It is what it is, dog.
I should have said in the group chat. That's all I say.
All right, so check this out, right? I think there's going to be a tough one, dog. Not big man thing, because if it's one thing that Barcelona can't stand up to, it's just quick attackers. And that's, you know what, you know, Napoli have. Thankfully, though, Napoli haven't really been in the greatest form. You know, that's a good thing. I know Osimhen is going to play in that game. There's no way he doesn't, unless some type of unfortunate injury. But I would never call that on nobody. So, you know, I really think he will play in that game. Somebody that should play in that game as well, though, would be Ter Stegen. I think that's a massive one for Barcelona, you know. The defensive record with and without him is like, you'd swear it's two different teams. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think Peña is actually a decent keeper, but oh my gosh, dog. Like, the miracles Ter Stegen is working them sticks is something that I'm waiting for it to come back, dog. I need it soon. Immediately, even. That being said, I don't know where the goals are going to come from on both sides. Because Napoli haven't been, again, the most, you know, potent going forward. Mm-hmm. But I could say the exact same thing for Barcelona. One thing that I would say is maybe one of our more informed attackers right now is someone that I would be completely against playing for his UCL debut. And that would be Victor Roque. I find he's looked good, but he's not ready to play his debut in a knockout tie, you know. So unfortunately, they will have to go back with Lewandowski, and he is someone that I just cannot back.
Do you think it's something that is completely out of the thinking that he starts this game?
Rookie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think that would be crazy, dog. That would say a lot about Xavi, to be honest. If he put a youngster in that game, dog, that says a lot. Italian teams have been known to get the better of us. You know, I don't think that is a game for now. I won't be against him coming off the bench, but that's not a game that you want a youngster to start in.
Hey, this says a lot about where Lewa's stature is in the game right now. Eh? That, you know,
so, I mean,
the biggest strikers of our generation. It is a conversation of that. Yeah. If he had played 10 more games in the Champions League prior to his life, Victor Roque could have started this game over him.
I mean, Possibly not. I mean, Lewa have enough credit in the bank where Xavi is concerned. But where me personally, as a stupid fan, is concerned, I just can't watch the man play football. Like, I can't. I can't watch Lewandowski play this game no more and then go on TikTok and make a dance.
Are you able to say that you think y'all will go through this tie? I'm not confident, though.
I do think it's still in our favor. But I'm not confident, especially since I believe that Barcelona is a team that you just don't know what you're going to get on the day. So if it clicks for us on the day, I think we look good, you know, great even. But if it doesn't and you just never know the way this season has gone, you just don't know what version of the team you're going to get on the day. You know what I mean? We just have very inconsistent players. Lamine, Rafinha, who may not even play in the game. Lewa has been inconsistent. I mean, everybody, to be honest, apart from Gundo and maybe Pedri when he plays. But apart from that, everybody have been kind of inconsistent. And that's the scary part going into this game. You just don't know what you're going to get. So I have to leave it up to that. I can't call the game.
Well, I still need you to call the game.
But I can't. All right, I'll go for Vata. I'll go for Vata.
Nice. Salik.
Okay.
So this is where I was rolling my hands on this tie because I feel like I just need to bring up this point that I think this is going to be one of the games where we're like, you know the away goals. Rules are good rule, you know. We should like keep that rule, you know. So I actually think this is the only game of the entire round that could actually go to penalties. I think that is because I think both teams could like finish on the same number of goals after 180 minutes. I just feel like Barca will give it everything they have because they're going to be, you know, pumped up by Xavi, even if it's for that one game. And I've yet to see like Napoli really in Europe get over the line by themselves. So I feel like this one have a lot to it, man. I'm excited for this one more than most of the other games. So I will go for. I'll go for Napoli winning the first one.
You know what's the annoying thing about them taking out the away goals rule? Is that I agree. You should not leave it in, right? But you're taking out after we had come on the Champions League, after losing how many ties on away goals, then you're going to take it out? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, so you could say mother swan, so, but we can't talk about Drake.
I didn't say anything. I don't know what you're talking about. I hold editing power, bro. What is said or not said is all within the power of my hands.
Yeah.
You desire to talk about...
No, you're right. Okay.
With respect to the tie, I don't have much to add to based on what you all say. The thing is, I don't really know how to split it either because just... I obviously, it's different ways, but it depends on the Napoli that shows up on the day as well. You know? Like, honestly, and I really don't mean this no way, Pats. I would not be surprised if they show up. And they click so much going forward that, like, how they had beat Liverpool 4-1 last year in the first game of the Champions League, I wouldn't be surprised to see something like that. Because when Osimhen and Kavara get going, you know, they really have a really good understanding together. But as if they do, and they haven't always, and between getting Rudy Garcia in and then having to sack him, and then bringing back Matarazzi, it feels like the most backwards move ever. Mm. To bring up somebody who was basically seen as a dinosaur in the sport at this point just felt like a kind of meh move. And then Barca, on the other hand, would probably try to do this for Xavi because I don't think it's that the players hate him or anything. Obviously, they would respect him a lot and try to give him a lot. It's just if they could find it to conjure up moments of brilliance for themselves going forward. And so it is all on the day. I would say that Napoli won't lose the first tie. That's what I would say. But beyond that, I'm going to edge it Napoli just because I think that they might have the difference makers in the final third in the end. But it wouldn't surprise me to see this go either way. We have seen across an entire season that Ter Stegen has the ability to go supernova and literally drag this team to titles. And it wouldn't be surprising to see him do that and drag them over the leg. And between Victor Roque coming off the bench or Yamal providing a moment of brilliance and Pedri being back in the team and actually consistently fit for a little while. And yeah, maybe they do find the moments of individuality to get them across the line in the end because Napoli's defense isn't great. And thus, we will leave it there. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We really hope you guys enjoy your Champions League. This will be on YouTube. If we don't record a pod, this will also be on the podcast. If not, you would also have a podcast to listen to in your feed. And hopefully it's one where Leverkusen and Girona win this weekend. Sorry, Salah. Sorry, Shiz. With that being said, guys, thank you guys so much for joining us. If you are in Trinidad and you are enjoying Carnival, please be safe and have clean and safe fun. And with that, catch you guys next time. See you soon. Take it easy. And later.